So I tried to make the man a little bit more nervous, just now telling him to his IT can fail on him, and that IT is your best friend until it works against you and things like that. But trust is going to go well. Can I pray for you? Please do. Just pray. What's your name again? Lord, I pray, just lay a sermon before you, God, as he preaches, brings your word, Lord. It's a privilege, Lord, that we have to share your word. And I just want to pray for him now, Lord, that his nerves will quiet and that he will relax. And Holy Spirit, that he'll hear you clearly as he speaks. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're supposed to use that mic.
Well, good afternoon. It's past 12, so it is afternoon. How amazing is the fact that Jesus is coming back, actually. He's coming back. And if there's no hope in this world today, that's the hope that we've got. Question is always, are we ready? Are we ready? So, for those who don't know, I'm Sherman, and I serve on the eldership team here. And I think we've been part of the church for about 9 years now. I don't know what's going on with my voice, but it must be all the shouting under the mask. But it's been good. Church life, everything, it's been good. Jesus has been good to us as a family, but to me individually. Not on my notes yet. I'm going to get there. But special welcome to my family also, all the way over there as well. And they came to put pressure on me to hear what I have to say. But I trust that whatever I have to say will fall to the ground, actually, and it won't bear any fruit. And that's genuinely what I hope. But whatever God speaks this afternoon, I hope that stays with each and every one of you, whichever, however, whenever. But I really hope that that is what will happen. So I want to share a bit on just what God is saying to me and also what I felt that God is saying to us as a congregation. And the first question, and I want to leave you with a question just for us to ponder on, is who are you? So I felt God asked me that question, who am I? So I want to ask you that question, who are you? But more so, who are you when you're alone? Forget about when you're in people's company or at school or at work or whatever, but who are you when you're alone? Are you the same person everywhere? So I'll leave you that question to think about. So for those who don't know, I wanted to be a soccer player. I was quite close to being pro. I was semi-pro. I don't know if that counts, but it does count. Thank you, Sue. That is in 2009, I basically went to Denmark. I played some soccer there in the Dana Cup, and I came back, and I was playing for a Castle League team. And if you know, don't know, but some of the players started getting paid to play. So I was on my way there. It's 19 years old, Castle League team, boom. But then this guy Jesus started knocking on my heart. And he's like, hello. And I'm like, hello. And he came knocking, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. And from that day onwards, it was the following year after I was actually playing Castle League team, and he said to me, Sherman, do you want to grow with me? You want to live for me? I'm like, yeah, I've tried my own stuff. I've tried my own ways, so I'm definitely going to give you everything I've got. Everything I've got. And he started touching on the soccer thing. Like, no. That's mine. You know, you keep your side, I keep my side. But he asked me to lay it down. And in that moment, I was like, what does that mean to lay it down? It's not pursue it, not try and be that professional soccer player. And I'm like, okay, Lord, but what then? And in 2010, I graduated. Don't start counting and trying to make out my age. I'm 21 with 10 years experience. I actually had my birthday the other day. And what happened was that I gave it up. And in 2010, graduated, and for those who don't know, I studied dancing at UCT, and I went to every colleague or classmate of mine, and I made sure I went to every one of them. I said to them, I will never become a teacher. I will never become a teacher. I will never become a teacher. That was 2010. 2011, I became a teacher. 10 years later, I'm still a teacher. So God's plan, my plan, obviously it was a bit different. But I hated my job. I must be honest, the word hate is strong, but I hated my job. Reason being, I was 21 years old. I had 18-year-old, 19-year-olds in my class, and they would push me around. Say, seni for meini, push me. What can I do? Must I fight back or just, they would swear at me, things like that. And I'm not going to mention in school, but that was my life. But now I knew Jesus placed me here. So now, how can I just bail? And my subject advisor, we got married in March. In April that year, she comes to me. She's like, why don't you resign before I get you fired? Why don't you go play soccer or something? That's her words. I'm sitting in the principal's office and crying. 21-year-old crying. But now, everyone is saying, pursue the soccer thing. I'm saying, pursue the soccer thing. But this other voice, man, this other voice saying no. And I'm like, okay, so how am I going to do this? I can't do this because I don't feel I'm called to be a teacher. So Jesus, you need to help me. And through that trial, he said to me, you're going to influence 20 to 30 learners every hour of your life for my glory. And I'm like, Lord, I'll take it. I'll take it. And was it tough? Yes, it was tough. Is it tough sometimes still? Yes. But if I get to live and show his glory in my actions, I don't teach the Bible from where I teach from. I teach dancing. But the kids can see Jesus through me somehow. I don't know how sometimes. But I know I get to influence them. Okay? Sorry. This is where that water comes out, because it's not the nerves that makes your mouth dry. What is it, Andre? Anyway. So that's a bit about my work, career, life. But let me touch a bit on my relationship with my wife, Stacy. Probably the most beautiful lady I've ever seen in my life. Still is. Sorry to the other ladies. But myself and Stacy, we never started off on a good note. For those who do know us, we fought a lot, dating-wise. But when Jesus came along, and he was like, Sherman, change your ways. I'm like, okay. Jesus came along to Stacy as well, and he said, change your ways. Live for me. Make me Lord of your life. And we both agreed. We said, okay, whatever that takes, whatever that means, I'm going to live for Jesus. He's going to be the one that says, speak to her like that. Okay. Speak to her like this. Treat her this way. Treat her that way. And today, I'm almost sure we've got the perfect marriage. I'm joking. We're about 10%. But the thing is, because Jesus is Lord of our lives, and we've established that since the get-go, Things have changed. Our lives have changed. The way we treat each other has changed. I'm still not perfect, don't get me wrong. I still struggle. I still speak to her badly sometimes. Sorry, babe. But it's so much different now because Jesus is in the center. He's the one changing our lives. And I just want to touch on Stacey because I can. Got the mic. No, I'm joking. So she's a qualified biokineticist, ladies and gentlemen. She's got her honors, which means that she can probably earn, salary-wise, 4 or 5 times more than me. Maybe a bit less, but no, I'm kidding. But quite a lot. But again, she's over there at the back with our 5-month, almost 6-month-old baby girl. The other two are kids' church. But what am I saying? She could have chosen that life where sometimes I do feel it would be nice to have extra 10,000 rand in my back pocket, you know, or in my bank account. But from a young, early stage walk with Christ, we decided that instead of that 10,000 rand in my back pocket, I would rather want to hear the words of my good and faithful servant. Rather. And what does that mean? Raising kids according to his will. Laying down that biokinetics job or whatever for his glory again. And it's tough. Because, I mean, in this world, she can coin it, you know? Koinonia. Not that koinonia, but, you know, she could have been a businesswoman, and we could have decided, okay, just one child, and you have your job from 8 till 6 or whatever, and you come home and you just bath the girls or the girl, or maybe decide, no, we're not going to have kids because we're going to pursue this other life. But when Jesus comes in and he, you know, shakes things up, then he's like, maybe not. And does it mean we struggle a bit now and then for his glory any day? What does God say about us? What does he want us to do? Kids, I touched on that. I think God's given me 3 kids to make me realize how selfish I am. 1, 2, 3. Selfishness. Anyway, but No. Where's Ed? 5. Well done, Gerard and Amrai. 6. But let me tell you something. We, in our household, we don't do 50-50. We don't do marriage 50%. Or we don't do parenting 50%. We do it 100%. Both sides. And yes, not always we get it right. But imagine Jesus hanging on the cross and saying, you can have half of my body. I'm just going to sell you or buy you with half of the cross. It's like, no. I'm going to give you everything. So that's what he calls us to do. Is give everything in our relationships, our parenting, you name it. So, I'm not raising my kids for my sake, actually. It's for God's sake. He says, raise them according to my word, and they will return. And that's my hope. It's like when they leave the home one day, whatever, that they'll return to him, that they'll go to him. Not me, not because I'm a cool dad or because I've got strong muscles and stuff. That's, you know, it's because of him. I want them to see him. So I'm going to give everything I've got to teach them according to his way. As a dad, and you can ask me where Sophia's nappies are. I can tell you now it's under the bed because we don't have space in the cupboards. You know? You can ask me where Alexis, my 5-year-old's tracksuit pants is because I know I'm involved in her life. And I'm not boasting because it's not me. It's God in me, like, he pulls me and says, Sherman, organize. Maybe let Stacey sleep a bit and you organize the clothes for today. or get them dressed. So if I don't know where their clothes are, how am I going to get them dressed and how am I going to let her rest? No, he says, let her rest. Figure out where these things are. Be involved in their lives. Ask them. Speak to them. Love them. Go on date afternoons or evenings with them as young as they are so that they can get something of the Father's heart for them now already. Okay. And I can almost guarantee you that today, if you were to invite me over to your place for chicken, doesn't have to be chicken. My favorite part. But if you were to invite me over, I'm going to bring my daughters with me. And they all we need is one room, one bedroom, because they can sleep together. And they can sleep there, and we can fellowship over chicken or soup or a sandwich or whatever. Because why? Not because I want to be cool and have my kids with me. No, it's because God's called me to fellowship. And because I need to fellowship with my brothers and sisters, I can't let my children hold me back from God's call in my life. They need to come alongside me. They need to come alongside us. And it's, again, not for my glory, because I can't. I'm lazy. Just want to put that out there. I am. My wife says that sometimes. But even so, like, Adam and Eve, I don't know what I'm going to say to Adam one day because it's actually his fault that us as men are lazy. Because we must now work because of him. We must be teachers and stuff. But the thing is, we need to fight that. That laziness, gentlemen. If you are lazy, if you're not, well done. But we need to fight that thing so badly because God's not called us to be lazy. It's not the wife's job to take care of the kids and just be, and I'm over here on the couch watching Netflix or can't wait for my PlayStation 5 or the soccer, the FIFA, you know, the PlayStation 5. Emphasize PlayStation 5 is coming out. I know. But the thing is, if I believe, like we sang, it's a very good choice of song, by the way. It's like, if I believe that I've died with Christ, so Sherman actually, you see me, but you don't. No, I'm joking. You do see me, but I should represent Christ, because I've given my life to him. So I've said, here you go, Jesus, be Lord over my life. Here you go, Jesus, be my Savior. Not just Savior, and I'm continuing to be my own Lord. I make my own decisions. No, if I've died with him, I've risen with him, I've suffered for his name's sake. I've suffered for his name's sake. So what does that suffering look like? That suffering looks like I want to take a nap in the afternoon when I get home from school. School as in teaching. But I've got three daughters that has just gotten up from their nap. So now who's going to look after them? Mom? Why? Why mom? No. I die to self. I'm not going to take a nap now. I'm going to be with my daughters. I'm going to be with them. I've decided long time already. Long time. Not that I'm that old, long time, you know. But I've decided I'm not going to be the dad that comes home at 6 in the afternoon. And if this is for you, it's for you. If it's not for you, you hear me. I'm not going to come home at 6 o'clock, bath the kids, say goodnight to them, and then put them down to bed. And that's my relationship with my daughters. I've decided that long time ago. Doesn't matter if I have to take a salary cut or whatever, man. I'm not going to be that guy. Because then I end up with 20-year-olds that don't know me. And what representative of Jesus Christ is that to my kids? I'm not going to do that. I've decided that. So often we need to make decisions early so that when we do get struck with those temptations, or the salary will increase by 25,000%, well, 20%, whatever. I'm not going to take it because it means I'm going to stay at work until 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. And I see my kids off to church on a Sunday for the first time for that week. No. So, you know, I gave John some scriptures there. But anyway, my time on earth, it's been 31 years, but it's limited still, because I don't know what's going to happen. And all of us here, you don't know what's going to happen. And with COVID and everything going on, you know, it maybe got a bit more thoughtful in the sense you don't know. You just don't know. But again, I'll come to one of our questions was, if you are suffering for Jesus, are you living for him? And if you died, you should be. You ask the question, have you surrendered your life to him? Is he then Lord over your life? Because then he's pulling the strings, he's making the calls, he's saying, go here, go there. If you were raised with him, like his focus is eternal focus only. So maybe you just pop me that scripture, John. 2 Corinthians 4. That's cool. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. The jobs, the finances, I want that marriage or this marriage. But on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So, is our focus eternally, or is it for now, for COVID, or all these things? I trust that it's not. So, I'm going to throw it in, Andre. In my life, I've seen that as God directs us and mostly opposite to what I want. Like I said, the soccer thing. And I realized that in his lordship, it's a struggle. It's a suffering of myself before the Father. Saying, okay, I really want to play soccer, but I can't. I really want to do this, but I shouldn't because I know he's not calling me to that. And if he is, then I'm going to follow him because he's Lord. He's Lord over my life. So I fix my eyes on what I cannot see because it's eternal. And through that, character gets built. That character that endures. That character that, let me bring up the scripture. In Romans 5, 3-5. That not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, that suffering that I'm talking about, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, but perseverance, character, and character, hope. And this hope does not disappoint us, because Jesus is coming back. That's that hope that I've got this morning, this afternoon, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Okay. So, because we endure, because we suffer, we think it's going to be for character changes now. I want to say, don't try this at home type of thing. Don't try this at home. Don't go and put yourself in a suffering position where I think if I do this, I'm going to build this character. I'm telling you now, that's going to come to nothing. Scripture says that if the Father doesn't build, the laborers labor in vain. So don't go and try and build character. Let God listen to his voice. Let him be your guide. Let him say to you, don't resign from this job. I want to build character in this place for you. Or resign the job because I want to do something. His voice. So, I just want you to really quickly think about Jesus and your relationship with him. So, you've surrendered your life to him. But before that already, he basically goes to the cross and says, I'm going to go hang, I'm going to go die here for someone that doesn't even know me. For someone that is not even going to think of me even. But I'm going to go die there for that person. And you can put your name there. And then what happens, it knocks on your heart. And then you say, yes, I accept the proposal of Jesus offering himself for me as Lord and Savior. But does it end there? Or is it a continuation of? Because often what happens is, Jesus is my Savior. Because we know we need a Savior. But is Jesus Lord of your life? That is the question that we sometimes struggle with. Is he Lord over? Because if he's Lord, then he's the one pulling the strings, as I said. But with saying that, does he get to choose when you need to stay or go? Work or design? Does he get to choose when whether you take your kids to com or do you ask him, can we stay at home? Does he get to choose which sport they play or which sport they shouldn't play? Is he the one that decides if your child goes to youth or not to youth? Do you make those calls? Is he the one that decides who you marry? Or is it because your heart beats for that guy or that girl and I want to now marry them? Because if he's Lord, then he will speak. I don't know about all of us, but like Moses said, Lord, if your presence is not with me, I'm not going to go. So these big decisions that you make, small decisions as well, is he Lord over it? Okay. So what will Jesus find? Maybe, Jan, you can play a bit. What will Jesus find when he returns? And we sang it earlier that he's going to come. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. And when he comes, is he going to find faith? Is he going to find faith? Or is he going to find someone playing PlayStation 5 games? Is he going to find some of us are fixated on our jobs more than fixated on him? Is he going to find someone that's more interested in investing than investing your heart to him? What's he going to find? Is he going to find, imagine Jesus coming and say, you know what, I don't know you because you've spent too much time with your children and you neglected me. Or is he going to find someone that's humbled because you knew that you needed a Savior and that you knew that he needed to be Lord? And you're going to hear those words one day. I really want to hear those words. My good and faithful servant, Sherman, come in. You've been faithful. So, the question is, who are you? Who are you when you're alone? Are you the one seeking after God's heart, saying, come and be Lord? Or are you putting up a front of something that only God knows? And God sees it, man. We can't hide from him. Not even from one bit. We've got one life, guys. One life to live. Let's live it full out for him. And when you get it wrong sometimes, try again. Try again. I want to say that character only established can only be established by allowing God to be Lord of your life. Maybe I can pray first. So maybe if you can close your eyes. Maybe let's all stand. And again, I trust that if your heart is beating now, It's because the Lord is knocking on and he's speaking to you about some things maybe. And if you have given your life to the Lord, but for some other reason, he's not Lord over your life today. And you will know. Yes, maybe he's Savior, but he hasn't been pulling the strings because you haven't allowed him to. I want to pray with us, or with you, just for this specific area. So if there's anyone like that, maybe just raise your hand where you are and I want to pray with you. Thank you. Okay. Just want to pray. Lord, maybe where you guys are, those guys that raise their hands, just repent. You know, the Lord says when we repent, it's a time of refreshing. And you turn away from your old ways. So even in this, like, Lord, we want to pray, Father, just for neglecting you. We haven't made you Lord. Well, there was a time where you were Lord, but we've neglected that, Father. We pray that we'll return to that. For those hands that were risen now. It's before you, Lord. Not before man, but before you. In Jesus' name. And then I want to pray for another group of people. Maybe you've come here today and you're like, oh, Sherman, you know what? I didn't even make Jesus my Savior. I didn't even accept him as my Savior. Because there's that as well. You've been living for yourself, but you realize that, man, if I continue down this path, I'm deemed for destruction, for hell. And I don't want hell. I want to know that Jesus is my Lord and he's my Savior. So if that's you this afternoon, I want to give you that opportunity to come into the Father's presence through Jesus Christ. If that's you, maybe you can raise your hand. While all the eyes are closed, no one's watching, it's between you and the Lord. If you want to surrender your life this afternoon to Jesus Christ and make him Lord and Savior, please raise your hand. And I trust that everyone has surrendered their lives to the Lord and Savior, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you are good, Lord, and that you speak to us, Father. That you speak your words, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the conviction to continue from your own heart. Not a thing of condemnation in any which way, Lord. But lives will be changed for you. To be radical. To be on fire. As you've given your life, Jesus, 100%, we want to give our lives 100%. Pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.